very thankful to be here. The song says I'm not worthy to be here, but thank God I belong. I'm thankful to be your brother, and I need your prayers. The Lord would bless his word. It's been a good week, hasn't it? And let's not check out yet. Ask the Lord would speak to us as he would desire through his spirit this morning to think about the things that we've heard throughout this week, which I am so thankful for. I've been challenged, and I'm thankful that the Lord has been willing to come and visit us throughout the services that we've had this week. If you've gotten good to your soul, do you think it'll go uncontested? So what are you going to do about it? I'd like for us to begin this morning with just a backdrop of history. We read in the 12th chapter of Genesis, we consider the thought that I've written on the board, facing the giants. The 12th chapter of Genesis, the Lord came unto Abram and revealed himself unto him, and he called him. He said, I want you to leave what is familiar to you. I want you to leave your family and your home and everything that you've known and go to a land that I want to show you, that I want to lead you to. You've not seen it, but it's a land that I have prepared for you or for your seed. So Abram, as we know, obeyed and he followed, and the Lord brought him into that land. There was quite a history that followed in the years after that. We fast forward to the 13th chapter of Genesis, and we find where Abram and Lot had some contention among the herdsmen, and they parted ways. We heard a little bit about that in the meeting, where Abram said unto Lot, you choose the direction that you want to go, and I'll take what's left. And Abram, well, Lot made his choice. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, as we heard, and Abram chose the land that lay towards Canaan. And the Lord said unto Abram in the 14th verse of the 13th chapter, after the Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after. He said in the 17th verse, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. From the place that you're at right now, Abram, I want you to lift up your eyes, up from where you're at, from what's around you, and I want you to look at the land that is far off all around you. Because that's the land that I have willed unto you. That's your possession. I've promised it unto you and unto your seed. You know, I feel a little bit like that even in a meeting like this. I hear the word of the Lord go forth, and I feel the challenge of it in the song we heard sung this morning. Have you caught the sound of saints on higher ground? Have you seen a land that maybe is a little ways off from where you're at right now? And I say, Lord, I want to be there. I want to be able to be in that place. And my heart cries out and says, yes, Lord. Lord, I want to take that. I want to claim that you have for me. The Lord promised Abram, it's yours. And the Lord's the one that made the land, so surely if anyone was authorized to will or deed it over to Abram and his seed, it was the Lord. You know, the Lord has a land for us today. And it's not found in the Middle East. The Lord has a spiritual land, the boundaries of which are not dictated by our oppressors. The boundaries are not limited by those who would oppress us in a state of slavery to say this is your lot and that's all that you can possess. The one who created it all says, I have a land for you to possess. Spiritually speaking, that you don't have to be restrained and restricted to this little parcel of land. He's saying, lift up your eyes from where you're at right now. Listen to the sound that you've heard go forth through this meeting. It's yours. And he invites us, he invited Abram, I want you to walk through it. Makes me think of the 48th chapter of Psalms where it said, walk about Zion. Mark ye well her bulwarks. I want to, as a bit of an aside, I want to challenge us as we're leaving this meeting. If the Lord's talked to you in the course of this meeting, if you've heard something in the messages and the word that's gone forth that's touched you and challenged you, and the Lord put his finger on and said, this is for you. You know, there's one who's going to try to come behind and steal that from us. I want to encourage, now this is just a small thing, but I want to encourage you, take a little time before you leave this meeting and write down, maybe it's 3 points, if nothing else. Lord, you showed me this and this and this, and by your grace, I'm going to move forward in that, because the enemy would like to come along and cause us to forget the things that we heard and purposed in our hearts. So I hope this week that we have done something of this, that we've heard the sound, lifted up our eyes from wherever we are in our experience, and heard the sound of something higher calling us to higher ground. Well, we fast forward now to the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Now, was it Abram's great-grandson, I guess? Joseph, that had been taken down into Egypt, and we know his story, but through Joseph, his family was delivered and brought into Egypt, and after Joseph died, rose a ruler that didn't know Joseph and didn't have that favor towards his family. As the Lord blessed the children of Israel and they multiplied, it became of concern to the Egyptians, and they said, we're going to have to do something about this. And they began to oppress them and to put bondage upon them. But you know, there's something about the Lord, that he doesn't forget his promises. We find in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, after this had been ongoing for 400 plus years, that the Lord came and appeared unto Moses in a burning bush. As Moses turned aside to see and to hear the voice of the Lord spoke to him and said in the 6th verse of Exodus 3, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Ites. You know, the Lord remembered all these generations later that this is still your land, that I still have promised it unto you, and that promise extends to you. You know, of the territory that we read about in the old books that was given, that was claimed by our forefathers, it is available for us today. It is willed to us by the God of heaven, according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, now's the time. I want you to go tell my children that have been confined by their oppressors that now's the time for you. I've got a land, a good land for you. The Lord's plan is a good plan. It is a fulfilling and a rewarding plan that the Lord has for us. The Lord had promised this before these individuals were ever born. And you know, the Lord has a plan for every one of us before we were ever born. This plan of salvation extends to every one of us. But what I want us to realize is sometimes we can hear these messages go forth. We can hear the testimony, the sound of saints on higher ground. And it sounds good. and I want it. But it seems like there's a gap between where I am and what I hear. It seems like it's not a reality maybe in my life. And the enemy wants to come and discourage and hinder us. The Lord said, I've got a good land for you. Just because you haven't found it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It is a good land. And there is an abundance in the land to sustain you. But there are some giants in it. There are some hindrances. There are some obstacles that are going to stand between you and possessing what the Lord has for you. Let's turn now to the book of Numbers. Again, desire and interest in your prayers. Numbers, the 13th chapter. As Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness and up to the Canaan land, he sent out spies and said, I want you to go and check it out. See if it is what has been promised unto us. Go and see the people, whether they're strong or weak. See what the land is. Go taste of the fruit of it and bring back a report. So let's read in the 27th verse. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They had come back bearing on staves between multiple men clusters of the grapes that came from the land. The Lord said in one place, I'm going to give you a land with vineyards that you didn't even plant and houses built that you didn't even build. It's there for you. They had been promised it. They went and surveyed it. They found it to be so. I want to promise you today, if you will try the Lord, if you will prove His ways, if you will taste of the Lord, you will find that it is a good land, that this is a good way. And so they brought back the report. It's what we've heard. It flows. There's an abundance, and how refreshing it would be after being in the wilderness. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. They've been there a long time. They're entrenched. They've built walls around their cities. They're ready for this, for us. There be strong people that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, and I almost hear them saying this in a whisper, we saw the children of Anak there. They had a reputation that was something that struck fear in their hearts of these giants that dwelt in the land. The Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Caleb said, oh no, let's go up at once, for we're well able to take it. The Lord's promised it. It is our land. Folks, if the things that we have heard are founded on the Word of God, it is a reality. Whether it's a reality in my life or not, if it is not, it's not for me to dismiss it and say there's nothing to it. It is for me to say, Lord, there's some giants in the land, but I want it. I've tasted, I've heard the sound of the saints on higher ground. I've tasted, and all the fruit tastes so sweet. And then I say all the reasons why I can't. Those reasons are called giants. All the excuses that I see, all the legitimate reasons that I see that I can't live there. There's giants in the land. They brought up an evil report, and they continued and said, the land which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now think about this for a moment. How tall is a grasshopper? Saw one flipped off a bench over there earlier. It's not over, what, a half inch? That would mean, if this report is true, and if they were as tall as I am, then those giants were 144 times taller than they were. Which is the equivalent of what? A 90-story building? I want us to realize that the enemy is a liar. That the enemy will try to magnify in our minds that this thing is so big and so insurmountable. I've tried before. This is something, and the longer we think about it and the longer the enemy whispers to us, that giant just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. There are giants in the land, but there's a good land. And it is for you. It is for every one of us that are willing to lay hold by faith. It's available for you. It's not restricted and limited that I say, well, I was left out of the deed. But there are sometimes unfulfilled expectations. People that get saved and start out for the Lord, maybe even in a meeting like this, with joy in their hearts and rejoicing. Oh, I'm so thankful to be saved. And it's wonderful, and the Lord's just carrying me. And then I get home, and I say, what was that? And maybe it seems like I fall flat on my face. Or there's some things that I'm dealing with, and I say, I don't feel like I felt there at Monarch. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Folks, there are giants in the land. You know something about the Lord? He doesn't resort to deceit and trickery and guile. The Lord doesn't engage in bait and switch tactics. He didn't just say it's a good land that flows with milk and honey, come on in. But he let him know it is the land of all the ites. It is the land that they dwell in. Folks, the Lord will set it before us. But Caleb was ever so right. We are well able to take this land. The Lord wouldn't will it to us just to taunt us with something that he doesn't have the grace to deliver unto us. I don't believe there was an expiration date on this will. I believe it still extends to us today. We heard earlier, I believe it was in the message Brother Curtis brought out, if you look at these stories with a little different perspective from where we're at today, but if you play this out real time, you put yourself in the shoes of those other giants, of those other spies, and you saw the giants for yourself. You went and you saw the walls of Jericho. And you think about the straggly group of folks that have come up out of the wilderness with no capability, no machinery able. They didn't have the story of walls crumbling to rely on. The Lord had said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they didn't, I wonder if they even realized that that was an option. I didn't know it was an option for the walls to just crumble before us. Folks, we do not know from where we sit today what the Lord's going to do. And what the Lord wants to do in your life and in mine. I can hear the testimonies of others that are so encouraging. But I'm going to tell you, those testimonies came on the back end of some fights with giants. And there are going to be some giants. Do you have giants in your land? I want us to just consider that very carefully. Because if you say no, then I say thank the Lord. But also say make sure you're still exploring the land the Lord has for you. Because there might be something more than the Lord wants to lead us into. God will make a way. We read about some of the giants, even in David's age. Men of great stature. That's 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on every foot. And the height that it talks about them being, it being enough to make anybody tremble. and want to go the other way. But the Lord will make a way where it seems like there is none. So the children of Israel hear this report, and it caused their hearts to melt. And they decided, no. We're not able to do this. We're not willing to try to follow through. We're gonna turn back. And it grieved the Lord, because the Lord had promised it to him. He was the one that said, I'm going to fight your battles for you. And yet they drew back. Writer of Hebrews said that the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In the land that we face, we use this spiritualese sometimes. That means what God's will and plan is for my life. To be able to live a godly, righteous life. And the hindrances that would keep me from fulfilling that. From fulfilling my responsibilities. From being everything that God wants me to be in His kingdom. It's going to require faith. And a determination to face the giants. Well, they kind of came to themselves, I believe it was the next day. Read about it in the 14th chapter of Numbers. After they had turned back and they said, okay, all right, we'll go on up. And we're going to fight him. Moses said, the Lord's not with you now. Folks, if the Lord go not with us, we cannot take this in our own strength. This isn't something natural. This isn't just a self-help, self-improvement, evolve into the best version of yourself. This is about things that we are not able to conquer, that we are not able to take in ourselves, that the Lord says, I'll meet you there, and I'll give you some land that you've never taken before. If you're willing to go up and face the giants. But this battle is really more inside of us than it is the actual giant. In fact, the biggest giants that I've seen are the giants I see in the mirror. I can look at what seem to be other people's giants, and they seem so clear to me. And then the Lord comes along and says, Clint, you see that fellow over there? You kind of been skirting around him. I got a giant that I want to show you, and it's time to face him. There is an experience that the Lord has for every one of us, where we, of course, need not be bound in the clutches of sin. We need not wander in a dry and a barren experience. There is a land that flows with milk and honey. There is a land that is satisfying, where the center of the Lord's will is. But don't expect. We talked about expectations. Don't expect the Lord to remove your giants. And I say, but Lord, I want the land. I came to an altar and I got saved, and maybe I've been sanctified. I believe in it. But I'm also going to tell you, when they entered into the land of Canaan, which is a type of a sanctified experience, it wasn't something they entered into whenever they crossed over the Red Sea. There was a definite subsequent experience that the Lord had for them that required the same faith that caused them to be able to cross the Red Sea, that allowed them to cross the Jordan. That same faith where they entered into an experience in a land that they had not been in before. But the Lord didn't evict the giants ahead of them. He promised to fight the battles for them. But He required them to face the giants. He required them to be willing. Folks, it's all an act of the will. Our salvation, the Lord gave us a will for a reason. And it is for us to choose. And it is why I believe Isaiah, the Lord said through Isaiah, it is for the willing and the obedient. They're the ones that are going to eat the good of the land. If we will submit and surrender and consecrate our will to the Lord, folks, there are going to be some giants. There are going to be some places that the Lord brings us to that I'm going to have to be willing to face, that I'm going to have to be willing to take on by the Lord's help. The Lord said, I'm not going to give you the land in a day, not in its fullness. You're here and you're now in this land, but I'm going to lead you step by step. You know, I found that to be so in my life. That the Lord brings me to a place that I didn't have understanding of last year. And I have a choice to make. Those coals that were taken off of the altar when I came and surrendered myself a living sacrifice to say, Lord, here's another one. And that will that I gave to you, Lord, that covenant still applies to this one too. Lord, I am willing to face this one. I am willing to take this land, this city, this place that is before me. He said, by little and by little, I give it to you. Every place when Moses went out into the wilderness 40 years, when Moses died, the Lord gave the beautiful promises in the first chapter of Joshua, saying, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I'm going to give it to you. But your foot has to tread there. You've got to be willing to take that land and face those giants. They were instructed not to make a league with the inhabitants of the land. You know, the enemy would like to negotiate with us. The enemy would like for us to make pets out of our giants. Giants are not for domestication. Giants are for killing. Whenever there's a giant in our land, one of those places that I've come up and I've run into time and time again, I want to be this. I want to be what I've heard. I want to live to this place. But I run into this, and it just seems like in my mind, I'll never get past this point. I'll never be able to get around that. Folks, it's a giant. And the Lord promised the giants to us. We're going to have to do something with our giants. They'll try to make leagues with us. They'll try to say, I tell you what, I'll let you have that territory. You just kind of leave us alone over here. You just kind of skirt around us and look the other way. Ignore it. Those giants were not juveniles. They had been in the land for a long time, and that's oftentimes the way it is with our giants. They've been in the land for a long time. They are many times propensities, inclinations, and tendencies that I've had maybe from a child that the Lord has victory through by the sanctifying and cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. That is an ongoing work in our lives. In this land where there will be giants, the Lord wants to equip us to be able to conquer our giants. But I'm going to have to be willing to face them because I can't expect the Lord to just evict them. Lord, I'm going to sit back here, and once you get all the giants out of the land, then I'll go in and take it. It doesn't work that way. And I can say, oh, I want what brother or sister so-and-so has. You know how they got there? By facing their giants. And I'm going to have my own to face. And I can take the same land, but I'm going to have to be willing to face my own giants. I'm not going to try to name all of what your giants might be. You know, there are giants that look like the fear of rejection. The fear of rejection. And you know, that can be something that follows someone all through. It might could be from traumatic experiences from someone's childhood. That I'm afraid of what somebody's going to say. I'm afraid of being made to look a fool. And it can follow us in the workplace. It can follow us in the home. It can follow us in the congregation and in the kingdom of God. There can be giants of self-pity. It's something that was touched by something that was said in a testimony this meeting. Someone was talking about place that they had been battling, that they said it felt like home. It felt comfortable. It's what I wanted to resort to. It's kind of like the fetal position. It's what we resort to just from our maternal instincts, that we go into the fetal position. There are reactions that we have. There are tendencies that we have that need to be sanctified. Giants that we can face, that I got to be able to conquer this in order to take the fullness of what the Lord has for me. There can be giant despair. Christian faced him, didn't he? Giant despair, giant of depression. Your giants might be a little different than mine. But one thing I am convinced of, we serve a giant slaying God. And He is not just content to say, this little quarter acre plot of land over here is what you're going to have to be relegated to all of your life. Folks, I believe the Lord has the grace and the help for us to be able to conquer our giants. I believe in these benches. I believe in responding to the Lord's call whenever He calls us. And I believe when the Lord puts His finger on something in our lives, or the Lord shows us a giant in our lives, it is not to bring us to a place of despair and discouragement and despondency. If it does, it's the voice of the enemy. When the Lord calls, He's calling us to higher ground. And when the Lord convinces us of something, it is because He's willing to meet us at that place. Some of these giants require a determination, a stick-to-itiveness. But the start of it is facing the giant. And I believe many times that's the biggest part of the battle. When I'm willing to face that giant. You know, it can be this kind of goes along with a fear of rejection. It can be a fear of public speaking. It can be a giant of accusation. You ever face that one? Devil come. Oh, he loves planting this giant in the life of a sincere, tender-hearted child of God. The giant called the accuser of the brethren. You ever been beat up with that one? You ever come away with some bruises and find that it limits your ability to be able to perform and stand firm and confidently raise your hand in songs of victory? Folks, there's giant slaying grace that the Lord has for us. Whatever your giant might be. Think about Daniel. I'm sorry. Well, he had his own things to face. Let's think about the other D, David. Maybe about 200 years or so after this time, when old Goliath is standing there in the valley, and he was threatening and roaring and challenging. You know, Goliath shouldn't have even been there. You know, Goliath had a grandpa. Goliath had a great-grandpa. Why wasn't he killed? Why wasn't he taken out? So that there never was even a giant Goliath. You know, I can look at places in my life and say, that was my parents, my grandparents. That's just a whatever your family name is. That's just our trait. And the world says, you're going to have to deal with it. Just deal with it. Folks, there is grace to deal with our giants. And I believe that that is the plan of God. False religion, Christendom as a whole, will use cosmetics as their tool to deal with these kind of things. Just apply a coat of cosmetics to it. Just kind of ignore it. Just kind of cover over it. Just kind of plant some trees around that where that giant lives so nobody will see it. Folks, the Lord has a plan in salvation that is effectual and it works. And the Lord wants to go to the very deepest, longest living inhabitants of our land. and say, I want to take that one out. I want to give you grace over the giant that your grandparents and great-grandparents should have dealt with. Maybe there's some grudges that were handed down the family tree. And the Lord says, it's the time now to deal with this giant. And it puts a fear over me to say, Lord, I don't want to hand down some giants to my children. I don't want to put some stumbling blocks in their way. Lord, help me to be a man and stand up and face my giants by the grace of God. You know, it can be embarrassing to say, I got a giant that I'm wrestling with. I got something I'm trying to get victory over. But folks, there's victory over our giants. Don't pull out the cosmetics to try to cover it up. Say, Lord, help me to be able to get to the very root of what's going on here. So his forefathers should have been dealt with. But they weren't. This is now this generation's giant. What are you going to do with them? Well, you can do what David's brothers did and all the rest of the army. Stand back on the ridge, quaking in fear, saying, what are we going to do about this guy? Or you can do like David did. Say, what is this? Who is this that defies the God of Israel? Who is this that dares take this place? I want to share an account that happened to me recently. I had an opportunity to accompany a local police on a dispatch to a domestic violence call. As we arrived at the home, and won't go into the details, but the person who had called began sharing the thread and sharing what was going on, a heartbreaking situation. Officers are questioning her, what's going on? It was about some family members that had moved into her house, and they were threatening things that they shouldn't have been threatening, and doing things of which the law had suddenly an interest. This man came into the room and saw us standing there and became livid with anger and profanity. What are you doing in my house? And he looked at his mother and he began unleashing that tirade on her, saying things like, you've done it now. It's over. I've had it. Well, after the situation was handled and we left, the officers were standing saying, what was he thinking? Talking about the man that was so angry. What was he thinking? That wasn't even his house. He's the one that's living off of his mother. What's he going to do? Move out? What I want us to get from that is, why would we let the devil set the terms? In our land. Where were they? It says in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel that they were, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, which were gathered together as Shokot, which belongeth to Judah. This was Judah's land. This didn't belong to Goliath. The Lord was the one that said, this is your land. It's yours. It's your possession. And there was a trespasser who was standing down in the valley. He was a squatter, if you will, saying, I'm claiming it. Folks, we don't have to take, the song says, I'm not giving up no ground. Not giving it up. Devil, I'm not going to take anymore. I've had it. Lord, help us that our hearts would rise with courage and faith to say, I don't have to take this from the devil. This is my house. This is the temple of God. You don't belong in this land. And by the grace of God, this is your last day. I'm serving an eviction notice. But David didn't give any 30 days to vacate. David ran towards the giant in faith, in confidence in his God. if our confidence is placed in our own selves, in our knowledge, in how long we've been around the saints, we'll fall flat on our face before this giant. But folks, it's willed to us by the God of heaven. And if we come before Him in humility before the God of heaven and in faith in Him, He's able to give us our giants. Are there some places in your lives that the devil's tried to lay claim to? Are there some places among us as a people that the devil's tried to lay claim to? Believe what the Lord's message to us today is. It's time to face our giants. I'd like to look at Joshua, the 14th chapter, before we close. It wasn't everybody that brought a bad report against the land. Joshua 14, beginning in the 10th verse. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I was there, said, whenever we first came to this land. You ever found yourself going in circles? You ever find yourself seeing the same scenery over and over again? I've been here before. I've seen this ground before. I've had skirmishes with this giant before. The Lord wants, I believe, to bring some victories to the skirmishes. David didn't stop until he drew the sword and he cut off the giant's head. To face and to conquer our giants will require something of a desperation. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever humiliation, whatever lengths I have to go to, Lord, I want to conquer this thing in my life. He said, I was there 45 years ago. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. I'll back up just a little bit. He said, I am able and have strength now at, 85 years old? I'm ready to go to battle. I don't believe any of our armed branches of service would accept somebody that's 85 years old to go out onto the front lines. But this man said, I'm ready for it. And he said, I'm ready to go out to battle. And I love the confidence that he had in God. Both to go out, and I'm coming back. Both to go out and to come in. I'm ready to go and conquer the giants of that land. I'm ready to take the walled cities. Hold my place, I'm coming back. And said, I'm ready. Thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Oh, the scripture tells us that the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And I believe that there is a good land the Lord has available for us. And I have seen, my eyes have seen a beautiful land, a picture that's been portrayed before us throughout this week, message after message again. If you find yourself in a place that you say, it sounds good, but I've tried it. It sounds good, but I'm just not sure it's for me. I just don't know that I can get there. I've wrestled with this thing over and over again. If your faith is faltering to say, I don't know if it can really be any different when I go from this meeting again, folks, there's something that the Lord can do for you, that you can go in confidence and assurance that the Lord is able to help us to conquer our giants if we're desperate enough, if we're willing by violence to take it by force, if we're willing to expose, to shine the light on, to whatever it takes for me to be able to conquer that giant that I've wrestled with over and over again, or that one that's tried to lay claim to part of the land that the Lord has promised to me. Lord, help us to be willing and obedient, to be willing to face our giants, and the Lord will do His part. You pray for me. Amen.